Hello, friends, and welcome again to our daily podcast. We call it the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's always been my goal to go a little deeper into the Word each day. This is the 29th of July, and we are down to the last couple of days of this seventh month of the year. We will present the essay edition on the 31st, and we will begin a new book on the 1st of August. I have been mulling some different possibilities over. I have not yet landed exactly on the one. So you got to realize I'm recording these a week in advance. So in my mind, I still have time, even though I realize I don't. But I will settle soon and we'll let you know. Maybe August the 1st when you find out the journey that we're going to take together for a little while here on the DDP. Today, I want to continue something I started working on yesterday from Genesis 16. This is in regards to Hagar and her encounter with Abram and Sarah. Abram and Sarai, technically. We haven't yet had the change of name, Abraham and Sarah. Part of that is that we haven't yet had the fullness of revelation of the covenant they're in. That's obvious. Abram does a poor job defending the promise of the covenant. He goes into Hagar and sleeps with his wife's maidservant. She gets pregnant. Paul will use that as an allegory for working through the flesh to get what you need. I've made the statement before, maybe it's a little crude, but it works. If you want the works of the flesh, sleep with Hagar. If you want the promise of the Spirit, wait on a miracle. That's Sarah. Sarah's old. She's beyond birthing years. She knows that it would take a miracle for her to be pregnant. She doesn't even consider a miracle. She just knows she can't do it. Hagar's young. She can have children. This first one can belong to Sarah. And then afterwards, Hagar can have her own. What happens is what happens when you introduce mixture into covenant. You get chaos and confusion. And so now Sarah doesn't want anything to do with Hagar. So she kicks her out. And that's where I want to pick it up today, because there's a moment in this encounter that I think is worth our time. Abram tells Sarah that the maid is in her own hand, do whatever she wants. And so Sarah deals harshly with her. Kicks her out. She doesn't actually kick her out. She just treats her so poorly that Hagar leaves. And the angel of the Lord chases her, finds her by a spring of water in the wilderness on the way to Shur. And he says to her in verse 8, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." A few months ago, I was at the Grace Life Church in Culloden, West Virginia, and I did a message there on a Saturday night. We aired it in June of 2020, called Questions from God. And that was a message in which we dealt with the questions God asks Eve and Cain in the garden, Adam, Eve, and Cain. And I got a lot of good feedback. People seem to really enjoy that thought process. And over the course of the next couple of months after preaching that, I've dwelt on that thought again and wrestled with that again, what that looks like when God asks questions, and it hit me. And that's why I'm actually doing these couple of days out of Genesis 16, because there are more questions. And the two questions that God asks Hagar are two questions that are not only for Hagar. If Paul has permission to take the Hagar story and turn it into an allegory of the old covenant and Ishmael a product of the flesh, then I think this Paul has, I don't say I have the spiritual authority Paul had, but we have the same Holy Spirit. I think I have the right to make another allegory out of the conversation between God and Hagar. And the question God asks Hagar is, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And I would propose to you that a question you need to ask yourself, not only you need to ask, but you need to wrestle out an answer. Where have I come from and where am I going? Where have I come from is looking back. Where are you going is looking forward. The angel doesn't even bother with where are you. Where are you is part of the question. That's what God asks Adam in the garden. Where are you? Because there's a sin issue and Adam is in trouble. And he needs to know where he is. Where he came from and where he's going aren't near as big a deal right now because he's in trouble. Hagar is sitting next to a fountain of water. She's doing okay. What needs to be ascertained is where she come from and then where she's going, because where she come from helps her to understand what she's went through, why she went through it, what she could learn from what she went through. Where she's going gives her direction, gives her destiny, gives her purpose. She knows there's something around the corner. What is it? You may not know what it is, but you at least know what you're looking for so that when you find it, you don't miss it. These are important questions that every believer needs to ask themselves. Where have I come from? Where am I going? For some of you listeners, you come from a life of darkness and sin and shame and all kinds of issues, addictions, brokenness, embarrassments, abuse, whatever, but it's darkness. And you came to Christ and the glorious light of the gospel has shone in your heart. You've received forgiveness of sins. You've put on an identity as a son and a daughter of Christ. You know you have an inheritance as his family member. And you look back with this fondness on that moment of your salvation and you see where you come from and you don't ever want to go back there. For others of you, maybe you're a little more like me. You didn't have that exact background. You had a background of church attendance and religion and reading the Bible from a young age. And maybe you did well with that, but maybe your background is that turned you into a bit of a jerk or a snob. It made you judgmental. It made you self-righteous. It made you always feel as if you were trying to earn favor. I'm just describing some of the things that happened to me. That's my own background. I know where I come from. And because I know where I come from in that regards, it helps me to better appreciate where I am. And once you answer where you come from, you can start to answer where you're going. And where are you going is a way of determining what you're going to do with your tomorrows. Your today is shaping your tomorrows. Your yesterday is shaping your tomorrows. And you need to have that. I don't mean you have to have it all figured out. I do not know exactly where I'm going to be in a year. Where I know I'm going is I'm going into a greater revelation of my place and purpose in the world. And I'm learning that my yesterday, I don't want to repeat that. My yesterday informs my tomorrow. I don't want to repeat formulaic religion. I don't want to repeat works. I don't want to repeat performance. Therefore, whatever goals or dreams are set out in front of me, I'm using my yesterday to help shape that goal or dream because I don't want to end up where I was. I want to end up where he wants me. Ask those questions. We'll do one more day with Hagar and Ishmael, because we haven't even introduced Ishmael, and he's a good character to get into. We'll do that tomorrow, and I'll see you then. God bless.